Well, the Brandon Smith story has created plenty of waves in the past couple of days. No doubt Roosters fans are happy that the Cheese appears to have committed to them for season 2023. Melbourne Storm fans, on the other hand, not so thrilled. In fact, they are livid. Nat Yanides, reporter for the 10 Network in Melbourne, has her ear to the ground south of the border. She's on the line right now. Hello, Nat.
Hello, Julian. Well, that's right. I mean, I think a lot of people in Melbourne are pretty disappointed at the moment. Of course, Cheese is one of our absolute fan favourites down here. So this is incredibly upsetting news.
It was reported that the Storm are furious with the conduct of him telling the YKTR podcast he's effectively signed with the Roosters. How big is that sense of betrayal?
Oh, from a Melbourne Storm perspective, it would be an incredible sense of betrayal. They've just taken him through this white substance scandal. He pretty much, let's face it, got through that relatively unscathed with a suspended fine, and then of course a lot of the attention being directed towards Cam Munster throughout that entire saga. So they've stood by Brandon Smith throughout quite a bit, and he hasn't, you know, he's a larrikin. He's not a, you know, the most clean-cut figure going around, but I think they're very upset with the fact that they thought that they would get a right of reply. It hasn't eventuated. And some of the things that he has said about the Roosters, which sort of implies that perhaps Melbourne isn't on the same level as them, is ridiculously upsetting for a club that really prides itself on culture and having a pretty good work-life balance down here.
Yeah, and given that he's won a premiership with the Purple Pride as well. Do we know if the power brokers at Melbourne, Matt Tripp, Justin Rodsky and Craig Bellamy, have they been on record at all?
They haven't spoken on record just yet, not in a press conference form anyway, but you can imagine that they would be pretty upset. Like I said, given that culture is such a big thing down here, for Brandon Smith to say that he thinks that the work-life balance is going to be better at the Roosters, I'm sorry, but that's just not going to be the case. I mean, you don't get as much media attention down here. They basically, players do get a lot more freedom. They don't get harassed as much. It's not going to happen in Sydney, and I think that maybe Brandon Smith's in for a bit of a rude awakening when he does get there. If, and it could be earlier than expected, of course, because I would not be surprised if Storm turn around and say, well, you're going to be released from your contract, or you can be released from your contract early.
Yeah, interesting you say that. There has been a suggestion that they may cut him loose early. I suppose now it depends, because they're in a precarious position, aren't they, Melbourne, with Nelson Asofa-Solomona refusing to get vaccinated, and of course these assault charges hanging over the head of Tui Kamakamita.
Absolutely. It's not ideal. It's never ideal to lose somebody of the calibre of Brandon Smith, but they do have a little bit of depth in that position. So that is one thing that they do have in their favour. But at the end of the day, like I said, Melbourne prides itself on culture. The Storm prides itself on having that really good culture. And for someone to come out and disrupt it in this manner, they might just think that it might be easier to cut ties with Smith early, particularly if his head's not going to be in the game. You have to question why he would come out. And I understand it was a podcast. It wasn't necessarily a form of media engagement. But you have to question what's going through his head and what's happened behind the scenes for him to actually come out and say that. So you have to weigh up whether or not he's on performance is going to outweigh what he would potentially disrupt within the team.
Now, turning away from league for a moment, Natalie, what about this talk about the MCG potentially hosting the fifth Ashes test? Should Perth not be able to do it? They've been rated about a 50-50 chance. You Melbourneites would be frothing at that, given you've given up two AFL grand finals.
We are up and about. This makes up for almost everything. Having two Ashes tests and a fifth test as well. I mean, it could go down to the wire. The idea of having a day-night test, Ashes test at the MCG would have everybody up and about. At the moment, we have no capacity on crowd limits with regards to coronavirus restrictions or anything like that. And this would give the city a massive boost, particularly when you've got cities like Perth and Brisbane coming out and saying that they're, you know, the new sporting capital, laying claims to being the new sporting capital.
Please.
Just sit back and watch Melbourne. Just watch Melbourne host a day-night Ashes test and let's see where we stand after that.
So you're ready. That's what you're telling me. You're ready.
We have been born ready for decades.
One more before I let you go. I read that today that Jordan De Goey's touched down in Australia. I'm not sure how many more chances he can get. Has he played his last game for the Pies?
Oh, it's hard to say, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, there's always the issue with contracts. And And that's something else that the AFL is very different to the NRL, where they can't just leave mid-contract. Well, they can leave mid-contract, but can't just sign with another club. So I think that, I don't think he's played his last game, but he has been given a lot of chances as Jordan Dugowie, and I think he's going to be skating on thin ice this season.
I'm loving this chat. I'm really loving this chat. This is the unofficial Melbourne report on SEN 1170 Afternoons. Thank you so much, Matt. Thank you for your insights.
I'm sure it's what everybody in the Harbour City wants to hear. Thanks, Jules.
See you later. There she is, Natalie Ioannidis from the 10 Network.